Today, we are previewing the first scrimmage of the spring season. This is an opportunity for players to show coaches what they have learned, and this is an opportunity for coaches to see who is ready to play winning football this season. As always, I'm Cheeto, and with me is my co-host, Keegan. Welcome back to another episode of Dogs Off the Leash.
Off the leash!
I do it for the dogs.
Cheeto, my dude, what is popping?
Hey, happy Friday, man.
Happy Friday. Happy, you know, first scrimmage of football, spring football eve, if that's a thing, you know.
It's getting real. I mean, you know, it's getting real. Spring is not the most exciting time, except for, like, learning the new players, especially with the transfers and stuff like that. But, like, now is really, again, where that separation really starts. It's not going to define the depth chart. Obviously, the fall is for that. But again, this is an opportunity for people to start putting themselves in spaces to get that play in time, to jump up on the depth chart, especially with a lot of the injured people that we have out for the spring. The people that may not get an opportunity this year, at least you got to get to put your name in that hat, right?
Yeah, it totally sets a framework for everybody. It sets a framework for the coaches to kind of know where they're what they're working with, how far they got to go. It sets the framework for the fans, because we start hearing some names that we didn't hear, we don't really hear names we thought we'd hear. And, you know, really, above all, sets the framework for the players, because they kind of start to know, okay, here's where I'm at in the pecking order. This is what I got to work on. Man, this is looking like I might be the eighth guy on the chart. Maybe I need to start looking at other places. So, really, it's good data, man. It's good data for us, for everybody involved. But it's
important, too. It's really important for this time of the year, because, like you said, the roster still got to get down underneath that NCAA cap. I think we're at 88 or 89. Maybe it's 88 since Pierce Spurlin got the medical retire. But we still got to get this roster trimmed down. And Kirby's already said several times, he is looking for players that are going to play winning football. And with a lot of second year and third year players, I think it's more important than ever. You know, we don't have a bunch of freshmen. We don't have a bunch of vets, right? So, like, we really got to decide who's ready to take that leap and that next step this year. With it being scrimmage number one, I'm really big on the depth chart. But again, we'll save some of what the depth chart chatter looks like post scrimmage number one. But going into it, something that I'm really looking for, and I think it's been really important every season for most teams, but especially for this UGA team. What's this team's identity going to look like? Can we start to see it take shape a little bit, right? With Carson Beck returning and being a Heisman favorite, being a high draft pick projection and the leader of this team after an amazing season last year, you automatically assume this is going to be an offensive team, right? You've got that quarterback, you've got weapons, which there are still some question marks about, but you have got the focal point, that position in football at the QB position, right? But does that mean we're going to be solely offensive, trying to score 45 points a game? Or will we be a defensive team, like we know Kirby's teams more often than not usually become? We are losing some pieces, especially in the secondary on the defense, but if we are to get back to our national championship ways, can the defensive line take that step up? Can the front seven be that nasty SEC front seven that we love, that we have won championship SEC and national at this program? So I'm really curious to see which way it leans, or are we just going to be a juggernaut on both sides, which will give us a lot of confidence going into the year. So.
And that's kind of what we all want, right? Is just to kick ass no matter where you're on the field, but that's not necessarily how it shakes out a lot of times. And, you know, it's defining the unique type of complementary football that you're trying to play, because no doubt complementary football wins. But even last podcast we were talking about, and you just touched on it there, that it's like, you know, even within one unit, defense or offense, like where are you going to be complementary within that unit? Like who's picking up the slack based on what you lose like year to year? So we need production. We got a lot of good transfers. We got a lot of young guys waiting in the wings, and certain things made our national championship team special. Certain things brought it to the surface. We're in this time of the season now where we're looking for the cream to rise to the top. And
who do you expect that to be, in your opinion, offense and defense? What unit or what player? Because, you know, after every scrimmage, that's really like some tangible stuff that you can take, in my opinion. What are you looking for? What are the whispers that you are hoping to hear coming out of scrimmage one? Give me a position or a person on offense and then one on defense. Cause I'm curious to see like where your mind is or what you think's most relevant and what the rest of Dog Nation is starting to think, because it's still early right now. So we can't exactly put our finger on it, but I think these are the stepping stones to like, we're A plus in this category versus just the B like we were defensive line last year, as opposed to our two championship years. What are you looking at?
Well, let me grab this low hanging fruit as I see it still on the tree. And you talked about Carson Beck and his development and the kind of things we expect from him, but we have no idea how good he could really be. Like, yes, all possibilities on the table. I guess you could take a step back, but I just don't see that happening. Everyone basically predicts him just to be a little bit better, but we see guys make a huge jump in their second year of starting. So like, he really could be a huge difference maker. And it all comes down to the pieces around him, and he's got a lot. And this spring football, we're hoping to see continuity. But can Carson Beck be even more than what a lot of people have put on him? I mean, there's certain publications saying he's the top returning QB. He has a certain style of play. You know, he's not he's not necessarily the mobile guy you want. That's kind of like the trend right now in elite quarterbacks, is a little bit more mobility. I personally prefer that, but Carson's our guy. He's equally talented in what he can do with his arm. So, like, let me just say that I think if Carson Beck can really take a whole half step forward, a whole however many steps, like that's a huge thing for this team, because had he did that last year, we would have probably, like, surpassed some moments. He just couldn't be a game breaker. He wasn't necessarily game manager, but he was somewhere in between those, right? A B plus kind of guy. So I feel like Carson is the dude that I'm looking at. And even though everyone wants to talk quarterback, even bringing up the quarterback kind of makes me feel very generic in that sense. It's also very true. Like, we don't know, like we saw Stetson Bennett lead us to a national championship in year one based on a really good defense. And then we were surprised on what he could do with the offense. Carson really got a lot more pressure to produce early on than Stetson, and with his like play style stretching the field, that's really where it made a difference. So that's just my kind of thought. It's just, hey, let's see what Carson Beck can do for this team.
Yeah, and I'll second that. I think Carson takes a step forward just with his development. The one thing I'm going to be looking for Carson is that deep ball. There were too many opportunities I think that he missed. Always his fault, but that deep ball is the difference. Being explosive, he can make all the short to intermediate throws. He's got a cannon. That's easy for him. Can you get your timing right? Can you get the three balls, what they call it, right? You got a laser beam. You got kind of a layered pass in the middle of the field. Then you got that deep ball, right? High up in the air and drop it in the bucket. If he can get that more consistently, that really stretches the field and makes this team hard to defend. But I'm confident in him, and I think this offense is surgical this year with Carson. I'm also confident in the offensive line. And we have some returners and we have some new faces, right? We got Green. What it's looking like right now is going to be Green at left tackle, Dylan Fairchild or Micah Morris at the guard position, and then Jared Wilson, which we'll talk about, who is getting rave reviews already. SVPG was great, but athletically, Wilson's going to be on a different level, and I think that can really take this offensive line to a different echelon for sure. Tate Ratledge, All-American, coming back at the right guard. And then not my favorite, but he is a seasoned vet, Xavier Truss at the right tackle. I still don't think his feet are fast enough. I wish they could find somebody better than him to play that position. With all due respect, I think he will be the weakest link on this offensive line, but you trust him. He's been here. We know he can play the position. Can he get better and not get beat more times than not? But the real question for me for this offense and what I'm looking for coming out of the first scrimmage is the wide, not even the wide receiver room. I take that back. Pass catchers in general. With Ladd McConkey gone and Brock Bowers, we have so many targets that are going to be open. So I'm looking for ETN to take some receptions to the house or some big carries, right? Oscar Delp to take that next step. Colby Young coming off an ankle, whether he's listed at 6'3 or 6'5, he can be a game changer in this offense. I watched his Miami tape. They use him a lot on tunnel screens and kind of intermediate throws, but he could be that back shoulder fade guy for our team, right? 50-50 ball, especially in the red zone. He can eat there. So can he make that next step? Will London Humphreys be a big part of this offense? And can Arian Smith get his confidence back and be that, take the top off a defense wide receiver with that speed? If he can be more consistent with the catch, if he's been on those jug machines all off season, in the spring and in the fall, he really could be the X factor for this offense, because I trust Dylan Bell, Ra-Ra Thomas, and Dominic Lovett. I trust all those guys. They haven't been as consistent as I would like, but I trust those guys. So if this other group of pass catchers can impact this offense, easy 42 points per game this year, because Carson's solid. So that's what I'm looking for whisper wise coming out of the scrimmage for the offensive side. Now, if I could ask you about the defense, Keegan, I know there's some confidence there, but some question marks. What are you looking for just out of scrimmage one from the defensive side of the football?
Well, I guess the biggest question mark, I can split your question two ways. So on the one side, I want to be affirmed in what I think I'm confident in. We talked about it. The front seven. I want to see that front seven really pop it off. I want to hear some of these young guys making big plays, because not to downplay, the greatest defenses in the last 50 years that Georgia's had. You can't do it. And honestly, there's way more to a great football player than certain physical intangibles. But when it comes to the physical intangibles, maybe not the largest, but at least the most athletic group we've ever had on paper, potential wise, for sure.
And you know that the amount of linebackers we put into the league, this linebacking group inside and out is the best unit in college football. I'm making that statement right now. And I'm not even flinching on that. That's easy money.
Yeah. So can they live up to that hype? Can they live up to that billing? Are we able to see some of that? Because we've read it. We've pinned it to the board. We've looked at all these things, but can we take that next step in that group? Because on paper, what they got going is awesome. So I want to have my confidence affirmed. And then on the flip side, where I'm not so confident, I want to see some names. Even though, we got a lot of studs in the secondary. We totally do. It's just communication, gelling, an assignment. Like, it's not about athleticism with those guys. That's the one thing I'm quite sure they will have and will show on the field is athleticism. But can they be disciplined? Because secondary is all about discipline. And look, I mean, isn't, like Dan Jackson still relevant? Look for someone like that. That's where someone like Dan Jackson can be huge for this group, because he's like, like Bam Wilder style, probably with better grades, but he's like the eighth year senior. He's been a part of this group. He might not be the sexiest name, but the dude is always where he's supposed to be
every single time.
And for a white dude in the secondary, he might not be quite as athletic as some of these guys in general. Just for him specifically, he is not even a factor, because he's where he needs to be. He plays sound alignment football. And when you can bring that in with some of the elite athleticism as a guy like Ellis Robinson's got, like top, one of the most athletic dudes, if not the most, in this class, maybe in the last couple. I mean, damn. So, like, we got a lot to work with. Luckily, secondary is where there's no lack of leadership when it comes to secondary. So, definitely want to see that development kind of take place there.
Yeah, I think the easy answer here is the D-line, given that it's, the most important, especially in SEC play. And that was probably the biggest significant drop off as far as the reasons why we didn't accomplish what we wanted to accomplish last year versus 22 and 21. But with that said, I'm actually going to second your point, and I'm going with the secondary as well. especially with Malachi Starks out after surgery for the spring. Can we find winning DBs? Can Humphrey take that next step? Daniel Harris, who decided not to transfer out and to come back, can he make a push to either start or get a lot of reps at the opposite side? Jonel Aguero, I think most people understand this kid's like the next, you know, Greg Blue, right? As far as taking people's heads off, like he's a hitter. Can he cover an SEC wide receiver one-on-one? Can he be in the right place? Because it's not just about like, oh, you can take people. You got to be in the right spot, like you're saying, you know, with our other safety there, Dan Jackson. And I think it's also important because as we've seen in our title runs, the front seven is great. But when you go up against that 2019 LSU, that Alabama offense that has been high powered the last few years, that Ohio State, can we have guys win one-on-one? So that's what I'm going to look for coming out of the first scrimmage. And then who's going to be the other safety? Will it be Dan Jackson? Will it be Jake Pope? Do we hear any buzz on KJ Bolden or Ellis Robinson getting some hype? We've already heard a little bit about Ellis getting his welcome to college moment, and that's to be expected. But when these guys grow up and they get their opportunities, they're going to be really good. But can they be that Todd Gurley or Brock Bowers good from day one? That's how you know who those special players are, right? It doesn't matter what year they are. They just came in and dominated. So after the first scrimmage, I think that'll give us an idea of who is punching above their weight, for lack of a better term. And offense and defense, that's kind of what I'm looking for. So I'm excited to hear all the reports. First scrimmage is tomorrow, by the way. We're recording this on a Friday. So Saturday afternoon will be the first scrimmage of the spring season.
And that'll give us our first little tidbit of what I consider, you know, all of this is pertinent. All of this is great, but let's just play some football and then let's talk. So that's where talking season really is nice, is like after the pads came on, we got after it, and then, you know, now we can talk about it. And like,
and definitely got to come out healthy. Always, all the goal is always to come out healthy. So that's, keep that in mind too.
And that's a fine line to walk. But every spring we unfortunately have, you know, a few guys that go down. That said, the time and place we're in now is a beautiful thing, because information is just so abundant and available. There's so many different media outlets covering football. You know, trying to be a fan, even in 1980, as great as it was, it's like, it's hard to say you'd be as attached to the team unless you're just local to Athens or something like that, because you just don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You don't know these guys personally. They all get, most of them have social media accounts. Like, there's all these independent journalists going about. There's dudes like us chopping it up. So there's just so much to digest, but it really makes you way more connected to the team. And the things that we're hearing now about this new group of guys, it's interesting, because when even if a class of dudes don't even do the best at your school that you're a fan of, once they're gone, it's kind of like it leaves a little bit of an empty feeling for you, because it's like, who are these new guys? Like, yeah, you know, it's like they're all dogs, but it's like, we're, you know, you're just simply not as attached to
You're not invested emotionally yet, right?
No,
they haven't paid their dues, right? For lack of a better term. So
just like a new season of like American Idol or Master Chef or something, you're like, who are the contestants? You
know, right.
It's like, who do we got? Like, you know, I don't know if I like her, you know, just wait till.
And back in the day, you wouldn't know nothing until you got the season program, right?
Yeah.
you gotta wait till almost damn near August before you even
like which one of these players is our Fantasia and which one of these is the William Hung doing shebang, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so the rumblings are here, and like, you look at these last few really talented teams and the two national championship teams, especially as good as they were, I feel like the one word you have to put on it is special. And if you break that down, I think it really boils down to, you know, certain attributes, certain characters on the team, certain leaders, but also just these unicorn players that made these teams special. And if we're going to look at that as a tidbit that we need, a little nugget, right? A little, secret ingredient we need for a national championship team potentially this year, we want some unicorns. And the, you know, rumblings are, rumor mill is we got one in a position of need huge shoes to fill at the center position, and that is of the Jared Wilson, the center. And you know, Cheeto talked about his athleticism. Dude, you guys, if you haven't heard, our center this year, Jared Wilson, is faster than like half of the DBs. What in what world of football, any classification? I mean, maybe you could find that at like the 12 and under level somewhere or something.
Yeah, not at this level, bro.
But in what world ever is a center as fast as like?
Imagine being a linebacker and that dude at that size is climbing up to your level, and you're flat footed.
Like, dang. So that is just something awesome, and like it'll. Like you said, like it opens up the second level. It really gives us some trust that we can do some things. Now, center is now as great as SVP Granger really was for being that dude, being the muscle, making the plays. I mean, no doubt did he have athleticism. It's not like he didn't. He's going to probably be an NFL great, if I had to guess. I mean, what for what he did at Georgia, you can't replace certain things. But when you have a guy like Jared Wilson, who's got at least the athletic edge of most of his peers right now, it seems, that's a good feeling. So can he lock down the leadership aspect, the communication, you know, the flow with his teammates?
The mental part of the game.
Yeah. So that's the part that we're going to be kind of questioning. But, man, you got to feel good about that. So we got a true unicorn at center, and it just got me thinking, like, you know, unicorns, period, here. And then I'm like, man, if we're thinking of unicorns, like who are other unicorns? And you actually mentioned and alluded to another, but and I'll just kind of stick to the offensive side of the football right now. But Arian Smith has been a guy who we've said is a unicorn. Like he's so fast. There was many times that he unfortunately dropped deep balls that would have been touchdowns, or like you said, Carson Beck just simply overthrew it just a little bit. I mean, he could have like a 5-touchdown season, because if it's a foot race, easy, he's open every damn easy time. Like he's easy. The dude is open.
Easy.
So like when that's the case, like you gotta get him the football. So I want to see him step up. And that one's not as you know, I think we kind of know he's a unicorn, but I think he's got that unicorn potential. And then just keeping it on the offensive side of the ball, you talked about, you know, Ellis Robinson's welcome to college football moment when he got trucked and then some in a drill by Roger Robinson, who to me is a big storyline for this spring football, because
don't do it, bloodbath.
Yeah, we know we got something special with you know, the younger ETN coming in from Florida. Like it, all accounts say he's going to be kind of the lead guy, but that's a talented running back room. Who could be second fiddle? Even, you know, who's the tri-head of this group? Because if a couple of guys, I mean I'm all for the committee approach, but we really have a lot of talent in that room. So seeing a guy like Roger Robinson running down the field, athletic unicorn. So I mean, he's like 245 pounds. He doesn't move like Jerome Bettis. He moves like Warrick Dunn. So
he's a big back dude, and fluid. I mean,
like that's pretty rare. So having the quick feet, having the size, total unicorn. But Cheetah, I'll just pop it on your end. Who are some potential unicorns on the defensive side? Who can we maybe look for? And like what kind of special attributes can we maybe start to hear about in this first scrimmage tomorrow?
Yeah, for me, if all reports are true on the defensive side, it is definitely the teammates that came from Texas. Justin Williams looks like he's been in the college strength and conditioning program for at least a couple years. The dude is massive. He is quick to the ball. Again, right now for freshmen or early mid-year enrollees or whatever, it really takes time to acclimate to that speed, but a lot of it's mental, learning how to dissect plays and then going. Once he gets that mental aspect down, and obviously we have the best linebacker coach in the nation, defensive coordinator, so that'll come. But him and Joseph Ajayi,
yeah,
both of these guys are already kind of, I won't say dwarfing, but as far as like which guy's a freshman, which guy's a third year, you can't tell the difference. These guys are going to be freaks. Damon Wilson is easily one of those guys, just super long. Yeah. Now imagine Damon Wilson opposite of Mikael Williams on the edges. We're not going to have issues of getting outflanked or getting breaking contain or whatever this year. That's not going to be.
Hell yeah.
We got some freaks on the defensive side. And, you know, with that being said, I wanted to hop into a little bit of kind of Kirby's thoughts in this season too, because as Georgia fans, you know, we have gotten to this point to where we expect as excellence. We don't exactly know what the product's going to look like this year on the field, but we know that we're going to be good. But Kirby has adopted not Nike's slogan, but one of their sayings, and assume nothing. And I think that's really perfect as a head coach, because we have this expectation, especially with Nick Saban out the way, you know, now we got our opportunity. But it's good to come into a new year and start from scratch and literally assume nothing, right? We can't live off those championships. We know that we're capable now. I think a lot of dog fans have known that for a while, but now we take every day, every practice, every rep, every scheduled meeting, video session, whatever, and we're just trying to get better. And with the talent in these rooms, with the freaks, with the unicorns on the field, like we've just talked about, that assume nothing approach, I think is going to serve this program in a very real way. Every year is a new thing. And I think that's when Kirby's career is done, I think that's going to say a lot about how he ran this team. And I think that would be successful even if he was an entrepreneur doing whatever. I think Kirby's vision of how to lead men and things to focus on are what make him stand out. So that assume nothing, you're going to hear it ad nauseum all season, but I think it's going to serve this team well for sure. So other than that, Keegan, I guess we didn't get a chance to talk about the 2025 schedule. Just wanted to get your take on that. And for those who don't know, the 2025 schedule is essentially the 2024, but flipped with home games and away games. So it'll be the same teams, notably Alabama, Ole Miss, and Texas. So for kids that got the home schedule that year, you're going to have a great year. This is going to go down as one of the best home schedules that UGA's ever had, just given the new SEC. So, I mean, that's crazy. But Keegan, your thoughts on that?
About to re-enroll right now.
I might have to take another victory lap. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but yeah, schedule looks crazy good. And I kind of predict that all those teams will trend to be even better next year. So while on paper with the away games, that makes it really interesting. I really see it being one of the situations where it could be a lot better. And I just want to say, I like what you're saying with Kirby and the assume nothing, fresh start, fresh attitude, just have that hungry mindset, because that could really pay off to exceed the former, you know, let's not just rest on our laurels for the fact of like, oh, what if we're not good as those teams? What if we're even better? And we're
let's go get it again. Yeah. This is a brand new team, brand new identity. Let's do our thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I totally do. And, you know, not only is spring football clearly in the air, we got a lot of March madness happening right now. I think most everybody in the world's brackets are busted. But last night, 14 seed Oakland took down number 3 Kentucky. Calipari is just not catching a break. He looks fried like calamari. And Jack Golkey, he becomes a March legend, leading the upset with 10 threes. He took 8 2-point shots the whole season. So he literally is just a 3 shooting machine. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right. So it was a dirty, dirty thing, and he killed it. He's totally legend. And hey, we're in the thick of it now. What you got to say, bro?
I didn't hop into the bracket this year. Georgia had a decent season. I was expecting more out of them, but I guess I would say good luck. But if you're not Bijan Robinson, it's probably not your year. But I'm definitely going to get in once it dwindles down to 8-4, and we will keep you guys updated on that as we go. That is all we got today, Dog Nation. Make sure you guys check us out wherever you listen, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And as always, guys, appreciate you, Keegan. And you know what it is.
Off the leash.
Off the leash.
I do it for the dogs. I do it for